Hello to you all. I'm so glad to be back with you. I've been so busy the last few weeks, and it's really good to be back into the groove of a regular week again. Actually, I'm going to do a series. I think I've been working on this. I'm going to do a series of episodes with content from some of the things that I have been thinking on and sharing from the Feast of Tabernacles. So don't forget, please take a moment and like this video, share it, and comment. The conversation that you start, it can be part of what helps others find encouragement. So please do that. It really does help. And don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
We will be the ones to see it through, and everything lost will be renewed. Long ago in the garden it was to be, now a dream fulfilled in you and me. Whoa.
All right. Today I'm going to talk about spiritual growth, and specifically from the standpoint of making a plan, actually walking through it and doing what God has leads you to do, and not just being passive on it, because we waste so much time in our life through doing things of that nature. And we just hope that we're growing through that process. But your spiritual growth is not going to happen just through the passage of time. It just doesn't happen that way. There are little things that happen to us that sometimes spur us on and we grow through them. But we only really grow when we encounter God and then follow through with obedience. So if we're seeking God and we're truly seeking after Him instead of being passive, instead of waiting for the next thing to happen, or just not doing spiritual things, not actually seeking after His things. We can be consumed with our daily life, and we can be consumed with many other things. So God wants us to seek Him, so we find Him. And when we find Him, we can follow through and we can obey from our heart what He's giving us, what He's doing. So I'm going to use a video today from the first night of the Feast of Tabernacles this year. And some of you, I hope you were able to come out. It was a really, really great time of fellowship, of camping, but also the Word of God came strong again and again. And this is something that God put on my heart the first night. And right before this video, I had gotten up, a friend of mine shared a little bit of a testimony. And so, Greg, if you're listening, love you, bro, and thank you for sharing your testimony. God gave me a word of knowledge to share with him about lifelong bondages being broken off and how the work of God was developing these things in his heart, and not just his, it was other people too, but specifically in response to his testimony that he'd gotten up and shared right before me. So I was responding to that. The Spirit of God just kind of moved on me to share with him, and then right after that, I got up and shared this message. So I'm just going to put that out there, and we'll just take it from there.
That'll work for you.
Amen.
God actually told this to me yesterday as I was seeking His face. He said, lifelong bondages are being broken.
Okay.
Lifelong bondages that you don't even remember when they started. It had nothing to do with it. It wasn't fair. It wasn't right. But it's controlled you and caused you to get pulled down again and again. And to lifelong bondages on your road. The process that he has you in right now, he keeps demanding it of you. It's not always fun. I'm breaking them off. You're not going to go through those cycles every 2 weeks, every 6 months, every 2 years. You're not going to be back at that same place again. Because you're breaking those off completely.
Delivered.
He wants you to take your eyes off of the things around you. And you know some of those things we talked about. He wants you to take your eyes off of those things and look to Him. Not just declare it, but actually put it into practice each day. Because many of the things that are tied to your heart is broken off. They're tied to many things that happen around you. Close people in authority over you, family members, did wrong things. And it's continued to surround you. It keeps pulling you down. He says, look up. Your help is there.
Yep.
It's there every day. Whether you have a friend who can answer the phone right there or not, he says, look up. Don't focus on those things. Because the depression that sets in, and the things that keep bringing you back to those things, each one of the things, Satan wants to remind you. He wants to bring you back. He goes, see, you still got this. See, that's still in your heart. You listen? And he's like, and Jesus said, no.
Hey!
The bondage is being broken.
Greg's not the only one. There's several other people God's been telling me that. And we have a good friend who's not here tonight, but God's working on her. And some lifelong bondages are about to be broken on her. And but those words, those prophetic words from God, they have to be coupled with faith. And so we pray for her, faith. That actually ties in with something God spoke to me yesterday. I was laying there and I bruised my ribs over the weekend last weekend, and so I'm not able to move a whole lot. So I've been trying to find ways to stretch it, and thankfully nothing's broken, and I've been getting better. The soreness is leaving, but then I for the first time all week I slept in my bed. I've been sleeping in a recliner, and so laying down flat. When I first laid down, I was like, oh, I don't know if I'm going to be able to get back up. But it stretched things in a different way. So today I'm more sore, but I think it's because it's when I got the X-ray, these ribs on this side were about an inch and a half higher than the ribs on this side because they were all scrunched up out of place from getting bashed so hard. And so that's the circumstance. That's not what I have to talk about. That's what I was laying there, and I was kind of like, oh, I want to take a nap, but I just was seeking the Lord's face for the feast and for different things. And what He spoke to me is life coach. Those words woke me up, life coach. I was like, what does life coach have to do with anything? And so I started praying, and He said, just like, if you understand what a life coach does, it takes somebody and finds out what they're interested in. You seek, you know, find out all the different things about their life, and you start giving them ideas and direction and put into action instead of just hoping and just passing time thinking that things are going to be improved in 6 months, in 5 years. You actually figure out what it is that you need, you figure out where it is you want to go, and you start making choices that will make that a possibility at a future time. And so as I was seeking the Lord, I just started thinking about how so many times, and I hear this, and sometimes I've felt this way, that I'm hoping that I'm going to be closer to the Lord, and I'm thinking that in several years' time I'm going to be growing in the Lord. I'm going to be beyond where I am. And years ago, God kind of convicted me of that. He said, "This is not supposed to be the normal experience." God doesn't want us to get stuck in that, because that is something that leads to less and less results. When you don't actually make intentional steps, the return becomes smaller and smaller in your pursuit of God. That doesn't mean God stops dealing with you. It doesn't mean that He's not going to wake you up and He's going to give you something and you're going to make progress. That will happen. But what God wants us to understand is that there's a side of the deliberate plan that we can look at, and through seeking Him, not just me saying, oh, I want to be this. I want to, in 5 years, I want to be leading an international ministry. not coming up with some plan and then trying to make it happen. Although people do that and they do succeed because they make the choices that are required to make that happen. I'm talking about just simply finding out what it is that will cause your life to be able to be used more for the kingdom, for the purposes of God, and for the struggles in your life to not just be, well, I hope that one day I'm not going to be like that. And we say, I'm dealing with that. I've got this problem in my life. I've got that. I'm dealing with it. Well, what you mean by dealing with it is you're hoping that someday you're not going to have that problem. And we do that, you know, in greater and lesser ways. And sometimes we have good results, but most of the time, and this is statistically, Caroline Leaf talks about this, that almost never
do people get rid of patterns of behavior and their destructive patterns of behavior? She said, almost never does anybody actually get rid of them. They go through their life and they find ways to mitigate it, the results, but they never actually break them. And so that's one of the things that she has dealt with big time on, is how to approach it and how God designed our mind, how he designed the way that we think and the way that we operate to be able to overcome these things. And so one of the main things is you have to recognize it. So if we're talking about problems in your life, recognize it and don't tolerate it. And every single time, and I don't want to get it off on the nuts and bolts of exactly how you do all that, but if every single time you encounter that, you will think it through, you recognize it, and you go through some deliberate steps. That pattern of behavior that is automatic, habitual, and it happens without you thinking about it, and then you realize later, oh man, I just did it again, I was wrong. If every single time, at the first moment you recognize it, you will take hold of it, you recognize it, and you'll see what it, you'll describe what's wrong with it. Here's what it does simply in your brain. Most things are either in that moment, even if we recognize that they yield bad results in our life, at that moment, it seems it's either, you know, causes a release of stress in our mind, or it's something that is tempting us at that moment. So what it is your pleasure center of your mind is stimulated, of your brain. And that's why it's really hard to get rid of it, because your brain associates it as good. When you recognize it and you begin to take a hold of it every single time, every time it happens, at the first moment you recognize and realize that it's wrong, you start grabbing a hold and say, nope. And you begin to describe it to yourself, what is wrong with it, what God says about it, why it shouldn't be there, how it's harming me, and you start talking about it, your brain begins to disassociate it. It literally dissolves proteins in your brain, literally happens, and begins to form new proteins in your brain in a different place. And over time, you can change something, and so your mind will now, just like drug addiction or different things like that, you can make it now associated with negative pain center of your brain, not the pleasure center. With bigger things, it takes a lot more diligence, but with little things, you can do it in 21 days. You can actually dissolve the proteins that are stimulated, that when you monitor the brain, the synaptics flow go to that spot when your brain thinks about that, and you can dissolve that protein and begin to form a new protein in a different part of your brain. That's the science of it. So it's real. She discovered that science by studying the Bible, actually. It's a beautiful thing, because she took the scripture that says, he's not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And she said, I believe that. And she was a scientist, so she said, I'm going to figure it out, because what they're telling us in science tells us opposite. And so she created a brand new kind of science called neuroplasticity. And for 20-something years, they've been studying this, and secular scientists now understand that it's real. But back to what I was saying about life coach. God wants us to stop being a ship blown around without a rudder. And I'm not trying to describe it as if all of us are in desperate need of and we're about to sink or anything like that. That's not the picture I'm trying to paint. I'm just saying that God wants to give us a direction. He wants us to seek him and find him. He wants us to have purpose, so that the things that continue to plague us, or sometimes the practical things in life, like your finances not working out, get in the way of the spiritual things that God wants you to be involved in. That's just a practical thing in life. And there's many other things like that are tied together. And so when we seek him, he might speak to us something that seems totally not associated. God, I'm wanting to be used by you to touch people's lives. And he's saying, stop wasting your money on Taco Bell. I'm not talking to you, Judah. I'm sorry. I'm talking to Bill. but you know, just something that you weren't expecting is actually inhibiting your life. You weren't thinking about that, and so you were asking God and saying, I want to know you deeper. I'm studying your word, and he might lead you something like that. And so I had a few different notes on this, but along the idea of getting your life in order, God wants our spiritual life. And there's a lot of spontaneity. There's a lot of unexpected things that God wants to do along the way. But there's also a trajectory that He wants to get your life going towards. And there's so much fun along the way, so many things that He's going to do in your life that you can't predict, and I don't think it would be fun to know all of it. He wants us to experience Him along the way. But He wants you on that trajectory. And that doesn't come through just passively imagining, passively hoping and thinking that at a future date, I'm going to have my life centered on Christ. I'm going to not be distracted by different difficulties in my life, or the practical things in my life aren't going to consume all my time. He wants to give you the insight. And I say this very carefully because in those moments, He encourages us. He is so patient and so wonderful that even in our misunderstanding and our lack of commitment and all the different things, He works and He comes in, and it's so tender and so loving. But at the same time, that He will be consistent in those things. He wants you to recognize that not all the things, not every circumstance in your life is designed to make your life go where He wants it. Did you catch what I just said? Not every circumstance in your life is designed to get your life to where God is wanting you to be. Many of them are actually designed to the opposite because they're an attack against you. And some of them are just simply poor choices, lack of understanding in our choices that created an environment. And so I say that tenderly because even in our stupidity, even in our failure, God encourages us and He reaches us and He will always do that. And I love that about Him. But He's also saying, you don't have to be stuck there. He's saying, I want to give you that momentum, that impetus to get on that trajectory so that your life is not just going year after year with, well, I guess I'm getting stronger. I guess I'm growing more in the Lord. I guess I'm getting closer. God wants us to experience intimacy with Him. And everybody has different things and they could describe and testify in this room. I know most of you in a lot of ways. And you could testify of different moments where God has encountered you, where He changed your life. Most everyone here has had a really powerful moment like that we call salvation. We've encountered a guy that changed it. And we say, that day I gave my life to the Lord. That day Jesus saved me. That we recognize that moment. But He's wanting us to have encounters with Him on a regular basis throughout our walk with Him. And if you're not, don't feel guilty. Don't feel condemned. But if you're not, know that He's inviting you to. Know that He is seeking for you. He is looking for you. Look for Him and ask for Him, and you will find. You will find that those encounters happen again and again and very often in a consistent and a daily, even more than often than daily. You encounter God on many different levels that keep that trajectory and keep your life going in a direction that is glorifying to Him, that is honoring to Him, that strengthens you and puts you in a place where when the storm comes, you can't be shaken. Because everybody's going to face storms. Everybody's going to have something break. Somebody in their family is going to die. They're going to experience hardship. Everyone is going to. But when you're on that rock, you're not shaken. When you're not on the rock, there's a lot more, a lot more damage that gets done in your life, and you have to pick up the pieces. And God's saying, when the storms come, I don't want you to have to pick up the pieces. I want you to be the one picking up everybody else's pieces. That's what He's calling us, to be the world's pieces. And for a pun, for a dad joke, His peace He gives us, not His pieces. He gives us his peace. And I just posted that on Facebook. He gives us a peace not like the world. The world can give us peace in a moment, for a time. And God's challenging us. Find his eternal peace that you can rest in, that you can truly find that. And a lot of people think peace is tranquility. Tranquility is not peace. Tranquility is a circumstance or happenstance where nothing is going on to interrupt. And I like tranquil moments. I love going to the top of mountains, and I love jumping off of waterfalls, and I love kayaking down rivers, and you see some of the most beautiful things out doing stuff like that, and you're just like, wow, thank you, Lord. And you have that tranquility. But the peace of God surpasses all understanding and all circumstances and is not dependent upon your tranquility. Not dependent upon it. You can experience that complete peace at every juncture. I believe it's available for all of us at all times. We don't always grab a hold of it. A lot of times we're shaken. We're not on that foundation at that moment. And so have our eyes open. When that happens, have our eyes opened, because those are learning moments. Don't just go, well, I know that God's with me, because that's a temptation to do, because it's true. And I'm not saying don't hold on to that. What I'm saying is, so a lot of times we conflate. The word conflate, I learned this a couple years ago, so I'm excited to use it. I'm a fancy word. Confuse, I always use the word confuse, meaning I'm confused between two things. But conflate means to think two things are the same thing. Confusion means I think this is that. Conflate means I think both of these things are the same thing, and we have to be able to distinguish. The Spirit gives us insight. The Spirit of God gives us insight to be able to distinguish, to be able to discern. And so we don't conflate a circumstance that God is trying to open our eyes to say, hey, remove this, and you will no longer be able to be shaken because your foundation will be sure. And we are like, Lord, I know that I'm kept in perfect peace. My mind is on you, and we're conflating two different circumstances. And God will give you discernment, because there's times, absolutely, where you can be in the face of things and the person next to you experiencing the same type of thing is all wide-eyed and you have complete confidence. But what we conflate sometimes is having our head in the sand, pretending that things aren't happening because we know we're supposed to. We think we're supposed to continue to have this confidence in God when God is saying, no, you don't have confidence because I'm speaking something else to you. Don't conflate those two. You understand what I mean there? Like I said, I don't want this to be a burden to that you're not supposed to have peace and circumstances. I'm saying God is so good that he speaks to those things. And he ends, like we were talking about, cycles. He ends lifelong bondages and struggles when we listen to his voice in those moments.
All right, there you go. I know this message is such a useful tool that God wants us to learn to use and to begin to find growth in our walk with God at a much more rapid rate. This message, there's so many different nuances of it, and I just kind of put it out there really fast, shared some ideas about how we go about that. I know there's much more to it. There's much more that God wants us to learn, but sometimes it's best just to get the ideas. And so I pray that you would take this to your heart, take some time, think about it, maybe listen to it again, maybe listen to some of those practical solutions that you can put into place that begin to open up doors. Because I know that years ago, God started putting it on my heart to seek after him. And it says, if you seek, you will find him. Those basic truths, they come into play again and again in the things that we can do later. I know this podcast and some of the things that I do for ministry, and I'm only capable of doing that because years ago, I responded and started taking those steps, and I'm now capable of being used by God in capacities that 10, 15, 20 years ago would have been very limited or even impossible. And now I can do them because of growth, because of pursuing God faithfully and walking in obedience through that. But I hope you guys are blessed. I hope you have a great day. I'll talk to you real soon. Bye. Dream fulfilled in you and me.